I will relate some of my experience with forearm disease during the last 50 years. Only it was called white diarrhea at that time. My brother, Elmer, had bought a cycle hatcher in 1908, I think it was. This was a small, round incubator made by E.W. Philo of Elmira, New York, who originated the Philo system of poultry keeping. We had white Wyandottes at the time, having bought hatching eggs, which were advertised in poultry journals. Some of these came from Illinois, I remember. His first hatches with this incubator were satisfactory. As I remember, he had 38 chicks from 50 eggs one time and 35 another time. These chicks were brooded in a fireless brooder, which Philo designed. It was simply a box which he made 18 inches square and about 10 inches high. A 3-inch by 3-inch hole was cut near the bottom on one side for the chicks to go in and out. The top was open, but a wooden frame covered with muslin fitted inside and rested on a nail at each corner. These nails were adjusted so that the frame was at the height of the chick's back. A specially made quilt rested on this frame, which held the chick's heat in and answered to keep them warm. As I remember, his first hatch lived and grew okay, but he soon had trouble with his second hatch. When they were a few days old, some of these chicks would taste up. That is, their droppings, instead of being normal, would be white, tasty substance, something like office paste. This would stick to the down around the vent, and sometimes even taste the vent shut, so that it would be almost impossible for the chick to pass anything. When they got to this stage, we would frequently hear, "Teep, teep, 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 teep." He had a few of these chicks in this condition and had them in a small cardboard box in the kitchen and tried to doctor them. I remember one evening, after doctoring seemed hopeless, he and our mother decided they would have to be killed. So Elmer and I took them out in the woodshed and killed them by lantern light. And how did we kill them? By chopping their heads off with an axe on a chopping block. How else? Believe me, it wasn't easy. Several years later, I learned that they could be killed by batting their heads on a cement floor, which was just as humane and much more simple. At this time, it seemed to be known that this white diarrhea was passed from the hen to the chick, but it was not known in what way. I remember of one recommendation being to wipe all hatching eggs with a rag which had been dipped in alcohol. It was soon found that this was not the answer. In time, it was found that these germs were not on the eggshell, but were in the hen's ovary, and were passed to the chicks in this way. Also, the chicks which had this disease, but did not die, would be carriers, and their ovaries were affected, which caused poor egg production. In time, a test was developed which indicated these carriers, which were called reactors. The first I remember of this test was during the winter of 1923 or 1924, when a few pens were tested in the Michigan egg laying contest. Otto Weisner took samples for these tests. These tests were made by taking a sample of blood from the bird's wing into a tube. The bird's leg band number was then put on the tube. These samples were then incubated a few days in the laboratory to determine if there were any antibodies in the blood. If so, it indicated that the bird had forearm disease. This was quite a satisfactory test and was used for several years.
About 1935, another test was developed, which was known as the rapid test. It was a great improvement over the tube test, as a drop of blood is mixed with a drop of antigen, and within 2 minutes it could be determined if the bird was a reactor. This saved handling the birds later to pick out the reactors, as they could be detected at the time of the test. I developed a table which held 10 birds. The helper would place the birds on the table by laying them on their side and underneath a strip of canvas, which kept them from flopping. Their legs were secured in a notch by a button. I would start testing at one end, and by the time I had finished the line, there was enough time to determine the reactors. I could average about 100 birds an hour with this setup. For several years, I tested each flock twice before the hatching season. After some years, my flocks were free from pelorum, and I made only one test each year. I never had a reactor on one farm, and I used eggs from this flock for about 15 years. Hatchermen were reluctant to accept these tests as being accurate for some years. In time, probably about 1930, their accuracy was being proven, and during the 30s, they came into common use. One real reason was that unless a hatchman had tested and cleaned stock, he did not last long, competing against clean stock. However accurate these tests may have been, they were of no value unless they were conducted by honest hatchmen. I will cite an example of this. I knew a hatchman who tested a flock of about 400 white-leggers by the tube test during the winter of 1926. When the hatchman came back a few days later, he gave the flock owner a list of the numbers of the reactors. Knowing that this man would hate to part with these layers, I think it was about 10% of his flock, he said, "These birds are reactors. You can take them out if you want to." But he did not insist on them being taken out. This did not prevent the hatchman from advertising chicks from tested stock.